Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. 10 minutes from the top of the hour, 72 degrees across the Southland, and the venerable words of Joe Walsh. Hey, how you doing? And welcome to the Toolbox. Let's dig deep into our guitar arsenal and play one from Joe. While I remind you that the CH people have heavy checkpoint stations throughout the summer. So if you're out there drinking and enjoying the summer weather, please don't drive. Give Joe a call. He's got a limo. He'll come and get you. Here's the clown prince of rock and roll, Joe Walsh. Turn to stone on the Toolbox. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dennis Miller, with Gina Grant on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a review of Solo in Hooray for Baldywood, and now, still tired from jogging in place all weekend while Lynette was out earning. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The show's going to get on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. Oh, we got a good game to play for you today. I want to thank MedMen, MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. Simply Safe as well. Go to SimplySafe.com. Enter Adam. Castrol Edge. Titanium Strong for maximum energy performance. Tell you about that in a second. Now, we got a little dilemma here. I just walked in the middle of. Oh, good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Ball Brian.
If you're not 10 minutes early, you're late.
We. I don't subscribe to that. We. My deal is anyone who knows me is whatever time you say, we shall. That's when we shall start. Now.
We're 10 minutes late for the show.
We're 10 minutes late for the show.
Exactly.
How dare you? I was 6 minutes late. A lot going on at the Carolla house this morning. You can tell. I don't have my glasses. That means there was chaos at the house this morning.
Whirlwind of activity.
Yeah, I have so many goddamn plates spinning that I'm running all over the place before I get here. And I had some guys at my house that were moving some mattresses. And there's Mises up in the attic and blah, blah, blah. And the building safety guy says blah, blah, with the permit. And blah, 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 but he needs another check. Blah, 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 blah. The work, by the way, to get a demo permit The notion that there is a building on your land that you'd you like pay taxes
take
for,
down or alter.
That you would like to remove, just get rid of, that is a very long and windy and expensive road to remove the structure that is on your property. That is a lot of work. You know what? I don't think anyone ever really, we're not really factoring in whether it be at the airport. It's like, TSA pre-check is closed down, so everyone's taking their shoes off today and everyone's taking their belt off. And just, everyone's just sort of in line and they're backing back out because the guy's got a watch on and he's got to go get the stuff out and everything. How much of your 80 years would you like to squander?
Yeah.
Just fucking squander. Like, just conversations about, well, no, he has the lead remediation certificate, but we have to get an email from the folks who did the lead removal. Mm-mm. That needs to be sent to the guy. Like,
the sands of time.
Yeah, everything's like, meanwhile, my life is just going by. Like, okay. So,
pages on the calendar are ripped off.
Then what we'll do is
leaves falling from
breeze. Yeah, we'll circle back on Wednesday, and then he says we can continue this talk about the asbestos, and then about the whole with the trickle, the oh god, they everything. It's just everything, and no one ever really factors in. Like, what about everyone's life? Mm. Like, see, here's the deal, people at the city, or guys who work for building department or whatever it is. You're at work, so it's not really your. Yes, it's not your life. This is the part where you're at work. I'm the one who has to stop working and stop doing whatever I'm doing, get sucked into
your
world. TSA guys, you're at work. You just punch in at 8 a.m. and you punch out at 5 p.m. We're now getting sucked into your vortex of waste because we're not at work. We're trying to travel.
Right.
All right.
On a much lower tax bracket level, I remember when I was screening calls for Loveline and K-Rock, people would call up and, you know, mess with you or just, you know, prank calls or whatever. Can you play Britney Spears or whatever it was? And I'm like, and they would keep calling 3-4 times. And after a while, I'm like, hey, man, I'm getting paid. I don't know what's in it for you. I got paid to listen to you. Not very much, but like, right. I'm on the clock. You're calling me.
Same problem.
Gina's got a dilemma / situation. Dennis Miller's calling in soon. Yeah. We're going Rotten Tomatoes people score, audience score.
It's high time we tried this, just to see.
Well, we always kind of try to guess and see what Tommy Boy's got versus this. And we know Tommy Boy's going to be low with the critics and high with the people. But let's see how much we know. I've been able to sort of gauge critics depending on what the theme of the movie is.
Who directed
oftentimes,
it.
Who, what's it about, who's in it, how many female, gay, whatever. See how that works. But now let's see if we can figure out the people.
Okay. Yeah, I like it's going to be twist. Fun.
All right, let me tell you before Dennis gets on the blower, and if he does, I still want to tease your story, Gina Gran.
Somebody wants me to go somewhere with them, which in any other circumstance would be perfectly lovely. I find incredibly uncomfortable, and Brian finds egregious.
Gina proposed, before the show, Gina threw out to me, hey, have you ever heard of this before? And my answer was, what?
And I said, I don't think I can do it. And Brian went insane. So I'd love to get your opinion.
I was apoplectic.
Yeah.
Okay. Now first, I'll tell you about MedMen, redefining the cannabis industry by empowering you to exercise the right to purchase cannabis. Premium shopping experience. Wide range of products with knowledgeable and approachable staff. And you'll find out what's best for you, Gina.
Yeah, I was there recently, got some cannabis powder for my 15-year-old pup who has some joint pain and some issues. And I'm going to give that to him soon. The vet cleared it, and I can't wait to try it. I think he's going to be much happier.
I love a cool vet.
Yeah. Well, they can't technically say give it to them, but they can say, in my personal experience with my dogs, it's just fine, and they love
it. That's all you need.
Yep.
Give what up to Caesar. Now, through the 30th, they got a huge sale going on. Favorite brands like Bloom, Papa, and Bakley. Also, Triple J and more. 40% off, plus 10% off for mentioning me. Highest quality and safety. Don't worry about what you're buying. Check it out. They got a lot of locations, L.A., Orange County, San Diego, and Vegas. You can visit MedMen.com. Find the store at nearest you. That's M-E-D-M-E-N.com, and check that out.
Plus, visit MedMen and tell them you heard about them on The Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order in addition to the 40% off selected items. Check out MedMen today.
Dennis Miller is on. So, Gina, we've teased your story. Yeah. Don't let me forget about that. Let me pop up the important Dennis Miller.
What if Adam's all for it, Brian?
No, no way.
Okay.
I could be.
Nope.
Dennis Miller?
Hey, Ace, if Gina has a story that you teased, I can call back in 10 minutes.
No! We have Dennis Miller on the phone.
I think we're going to do the Rotten Tomatoes game, and we're going to go with the audience score this time, Dennis. Screw the critics.
Well, get this. I know you're going to find this very ironic. Later tonight, I'm receiving an honorary doctorate in film from USC.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Mazel tov.
Dennis is... the host of the Dennis Miller Option, and you can listen on all the Apple podcasts and Podcast One if you like, and I would if I were you, and also their stand-up coming up, Montclair, New Jersey, that's coming up June 16th, Knoxville, Tennessee, Bijou Theater, it's coming up on the 23rd, and tickets at Ticketmaster. So, Dennis, I don't know why. People have been tweeting me, like, how about the people score? And I feel like it's come up a few times, the audience score, like the difference between the audience and the critics. And I started thinking about my friend Dennis Miller, and I thought, I think he's got his finger on the pulse of the people. You know what I mean? Yeah. As I said before, he's Joe Sixpack. Yeah. He's Yogi Berra.
The groundlings in the front.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Well, I do think that the country is schismed into the elites and the hoi polloi, so it might be best just to alternate them once in a while, since it's pretty much right on the 50. Oh, look at this, Ace, coming across my laptop. They are going to continue to do Roseanne. It's Samantha Bee. It's taking
oh, my
the
gosh.
She's taking over Roseanne.
A happy accident?
You know, the thing about the Samantha Bee situation that everyone is kind of glossing over, and it's been kind of a running joke for a while, that no one, I feel all the Me Too folks are not sufficiently upset about, is lots of jokes about Trump wanting to bang his daughter and his daughter wanting to bang him. Could you imagine, Dennis Miller, if you made a joke about Aaliyah Obama wanting to have sex with her dad when he was a president? Would you ever work in show business ever again?
Can you even... You know, Ace, here's the thing I'll say. People are constantly bewildered that this sort of double standard is happening. And all I'm going to say to people is, let it go. The standard is a double standard. And they're going to achieve all these weird little Pyrrhic victories where they call the president's daughter that, or Keith Overman calls Michelle Macken a mashed-up bag of meat with lipstick, or Joy Reid. Yeah, they're going to win all these things. I'm telling you, people are not want to come out right now and fight these people over these things because they'll get destroyed. But I'm telling you, we have a secret ballot. And I really think what's happening here is they're achieving many Pyrrhic victories, and they're going to have Trump again in their life for 6.5 more years. I really think he's going to win.
I don't disagree. I also feel that, but I still feel like as an atheist who has no real regard for no reverence for really anything, making jokes about a woman wanting to have sex with her dad sort of consistently is the height of offensive. Like names and labels and comparing this person to that and somebody's physicality, one thing. But sex with your dad is a weird – it's just a weird thing to let them skate on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you have to. Use your head out there. Anybody who doesn't have a big clout, you have more of a clout. Anybody out there, do not go into the break room at your work. Don't defend any of this, because then they're going to say you're a Nazi and Trump's a Nazi and you're a Nazi and you're a racist. Just shut up. Zip your lip. Stay out of the way. Unless you have a big stick, like I said, then swing away. But if you don't have a big stick, stay out of the way. And I'm pretty sure that this man's going to be reelected. And while I do find him crass, I also find him have more common sense and almost anybody who's inhabited that office. And what? You see things like this morning, 3.8, lowest black unemployment rate, North Korea saying, you know, if a bunch of these things come to fruition, if it keeps going the way it does, and they want to continue to call him Hitler, for every one person they're bringing on thinking, wow, he must be Adolf Hitler, they're losing around two or three are saying, well, you're being silly now. And by the way, quit making jokes about him wanting to bonk his daughter. That puts me off. You're right, Ace. But I'm not prone to go out there and shut them down and say you should.
I don't want to shut anyone down. I just find it interesting. I always find it interesting when there's a news story where all the focus is on Samantha B and Samantha C, but we skate right past the part where you put on a tight sweater and sit on your dad's knee in a sexual way. That's the part that if you're really down with the movement, that part is sort of more offensive. That's all I'm saying. All right. Shall we?
By the way, Ace, I'm currently in litigation. I've accused my 13-year-old self of groping me. And if you want to follow the adjudication of the trial, you can go to hashtag MeTooFrequently. Anyway, back to the game.
There are 10,000 counts you've been rung up on.
Is the operative term. All right,
I got my own wing in the Masturbation Hall of Fame.
Let's play the game.
Is this the PG thing?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Dozen names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right, so last week we learned that Dennis played horribly when identifying movies of people who did his same job. This week we're going to find out how well he can do at people who were cast members during Dennis's tenure from 1985 to 1991.
The glory years.
And the people's score.
We begin with Kevin Nealon. Kevin Nealon joined the show a year after Dennis was a staple for 9 seasons. That doesn't make sense the way I read it, but whatever. In 1988, he played Mr. Sims in a film about a wedding singer who falls in love with a waitress after being left at the altar. 1998's, with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, The Wedding Singer.
All right. I always say this, and I hope Kevin Nealon... takes it in the spirit in which it's intended, but I always say quietly one of the funniest guys around. Quietly.
Right.
He's quietly
stealthy.
Super funny. And a real nice guy.
Yeah. Advocate for animals.
This is a weird one. Now, we know the audience liked this one, and we know it's probably higher than the critics, but the critics probably like this one too. This is one of my movies that is generally probably a little overrated by people. Sandler, like it's like Happy Gilmore and stuff like that. I have him as funny, but not. I don't have in my upper echelon of funny movies. We got to get to some Woody Allen or some Albert Brooks to get Lost in America or something like that. These are cute.
A little more lightweight and
compared
silly.
To that. But the audience has got to like this. I'm going to write my number down. Dennis, give us your number.
First off, I did 6 seasons on SNL, not 9. I don't want to pretend that I did. So I read it wrong.
The 9 seasons was in relation to Kevin Nealon.
I'm
sorry.
All right.
So what are you in a yogi pose on your head? How did you see 6 is 9? All right. I'm going to say 75.
Feels a little low for the audience.
This is one of Sandler's, I could put it up there as maybe his best Adam Sandler movie. You know, those types of the 90-minute comedies he's so well known for. I really like this movie. I think the critics have it around 74, so at audience 88.
Interesting.
This is a real crowd pleaser. It has a happy ending. It's fun.
You know, I've never seen this movie in its entirety.
I got the critic score right.
That's right.
I've never seen it. I've seen bits. But I know. I don't know how it passed me, but I know people love the novelty of the 80s, and it's a very sweet movie and very quotable, apparently. I said 83.
I think I went a little low at 79, but let's find out.
The Wedding Singer has an audience score of 80.
Ooh. Okay.
Critics
all right,
have it fresh.
Still in the game. We're
68
all still
with
in
the critics.
Game.
All right. So this is one of those critics always lower than the audience in comedies, unless they have to be sort of avant-garde something that
sure.
we're supposed
yeah,
to love.
You know, critics,
I guarantee I could hear Gene Shalit doing the wedding thing and go, I guess I missed the bouquet.
That's good.
All right.
Next up, Dana Carvey was a cast member from 1986 to 1993 as Brian's favorite cast
Indeed.
Member. Dana Carvey in 2002 starred as Pistachio.
Pistachio Disguisey.
A master of mimicry and disguise in 2002's The Master of Disguise.
Mm.
1,000 faces and not a single clue.
All right.
That's the tagline.
That's a good tagline.
We know that the critics were super low on this, probably into the 20s. But we all know there can be a huge gap. A lot of young Brian's going and supporting yeah. this kind of film and enjoying it. I have no... Again, I kind of like doing the audience score for movies like this. Because if it was critics, I'd go 18%
right.
and feel pretty good about mm-hmm. myself. But the audience could be 65 or 70.
Yeah.
You don't know if they're enjoying this or not. I know I never saw it. Brian probably saw it. It wasn't supposed to be good. I'm going to lock in my number. Dennis, how say you?
My best friend. I love him like a brother. He's the greatest cast member ever on Saturday Night Live. And thus, I'm giving this film an I don't care. Make the world go away. I'm giving it 100.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's a
bold.
Personal, yeah. Bold strategy, Cotton. I'm glad to hear you say that, Dennis. Dana Carvey was a force of nature on Saturday Night Live and doesn't get his due with the all-time greats. I loved him. Did not see this movie because I heard it wasn't very good. I'm going to guess the critic score is somewhere around 8. I'm going to say the audience score is somewhere around 40.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. 100.
Mm-hmm.
Final offer. By the way, it also says...
Hold on a yeah. second. I'm going to give an answer like they do in... Oh, what is it? Family Feud? Mm-hmm. Like when we get to that family member that's clearly got a problem and they do the move, they go, things you do first thing in the morning. And the guy yells, pilot a dirigible.
And the
family Steve
goes,
Harvey goes,
okay, all right.
Let's see. By the way, sometimes Steve should just go, let's not waste time
let's
having to turn around and point at a board. That's what I'm going to do with your 100%. Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's a strategy.
Right.
Let's see. Let's see what it is. Okay. Gina Grad?
It also says disguise the limit on the poster.
Good taglines.
I know that Brian loves Dana. I love Dana. Dana's lovable, and he's showcasing all of his talents, although I've never heard of this movie. So I'm
it's
going
really good.
55.
Brian, you want what?
40.
I want 49.
Okay.
The audience scores The Master of Disguise at 32%.
Oh, crap.
1%.
Can I say one thing?
Yes. 1 out of 100.
100.
The critics have it at 1.
The critics have it at 1%. Now,
I got to read the fresh review. I got to read the one positive.
Hold on. I got to see the top critics. They got to have it at 0. But, you know, if I were sitting next to Dana right now, I'd say it's only out of 103 reviews. You know what I mean? So the jury's still out.
Yeah. Consensus, isn't it?
Nice, this is a great man and a great, great talent.
So 0 with the top critics. So what do they know?
Yeah.
1%. And a 32. I thought maybe the kids enjoyed it a little more.
I think the kids did.
Well, a little more, but I've not 40. What'd you have, 40?
40.
All right. It's close. All right, here we go.
Next up, Mike Myers was a cast member from 89 to 95. And back in 2004, the follow-up to the DreamWorks animated smash hit about an ogre, his love, and a donkey alongside Eddie Murphy. 2004's Shrek 2.
Shrek 2. Shrek 1 would be a layup in the
in the 90s, I guess.
Yeah, awesome.
High 80s, early 90s. I haven't seen the Shreks.
Oh, Shrek is a good movie.
Yeah, I hear they're good. The weird animation bumps me a little bit.
Chris Farley was the voice of Donkey. The Donkey character named Donkey. They taped. They laid down his entire role with the exception of like a couple of scenes. Mm-hmm. He passed away. Eddie Murphy stepped in and it is what it is.
That would have been awesome.
The footage exists, you know, of his voiceover. Like, he did the whole role.
Wow.
Why didn't they leave it in?
Because they didn't finish it. There were still a few
scenes. Yeah, I know, but I mean, they made half a Fast and Furious movie.
I'm guessing
Paul Walker died and he's on camera.
I'm guessing they envisioned a franchise.
Well, also, with all the Donkey, you know, merchandising and franchising, like you said, Eddie Murphy doesn't do that. An Eddie Murphy impersonator does that. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that would have been great.
Gene Shalit. Shrek, not Drek.
All right. Oh, hold on. Let me write down my answer. 2. That's the part. I think I'd be in the high mid-90s, but now it's 2 is confusing me a little. All right. I've written down my thing. Go ahead, Dennis Miller.
Well, I heard Shrek 4 is coming out now, and it's called Shrek Has Priapsis. Harvey Weinstein. Any prosthetic makeup. So there you go.
Breaking.
I would say Shrek 2 was huge. So I'm going to say 90. 90.
Ooh, very close. I said 91. This delivered exactly what people wanted.
Good call. Didn't see it. What went with 88?
I also
figured it was a couple points lower than the first one. Let's see.
Brian, tell us your score again,
91.
Please.
91.
The audience score for Shrek 2 is 69%.
Wow.
Ace, if we were playing the other way, you would have had a deduction.
As would
Critics
I.
Certified fresh.
I'm really surprised.
Now, you didn't see 96 as 69 going back to the earlier
part. I did not. I'm a big Hendrix fan.
Wow.
I did not see that coming.
Wow. No, I did not. This is the people saying we didn't like it as much as the first one.
Well, 88% rated animated comedy. That's crazy.
Wow.
Well, I think this kind of stuff does well with the critics, Pixar stuff especially, but I don't know why the audience dropped off. What was the first number one audience?
One audience was 90.
Right, so they dropped, and I figured they'd drop a little, but they seem to drop a lot. All right, snobs.
Gene and Am, can I get your scores one more time?
We were both 88.
Both 88.
Mike Myers is one Wayne's World sequel away from starring in 3 franchises 3 times. Austin Powers, Shrek, and Wayne's World.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true.
Think about that.
Yeah, one animated, though. It's good, but it's no Sly Stallone. All right, here we go. I'll see you tomorrow night. Here we go.
All right, Tim Meadows did a decade on SNL from 1990 to 2000. The ladies' man joined the show towards the end of Dennis's time. And in 2007, he starred in a parody of Walk the Line and was the drummer in Dewey Cox's band with John C. Reilly in Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story.
I think people like this movie. I just felt like it felt like too much work for me by the title. Like, I didn't feel like I wanted to burn that many calories. Yeah. I got it. It was like a cool concept that I just didn't. I don't know. It's like when people start talking about savory crepes, and I'm like, I know it sounds good. I just give me a burger and fries.
I've had people recommend this. I never saw it. I've had people recommend this to me. Like, oh, do you guys see Walk Hard?
Love it.
Now, I bet this is one of those movies that the critics liked more than the audience. Mm. Because even though it's a comedy, it's the kind of, it's no Adam, it's not like Tommy Boy.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, more this high is the concept.
Kind of this is the stuff that the critics go for and that the people don't like as much. Heard like decent things. So I'm going to lock in my score with the people. Dennis Miller?
Well, this one tears my guts up because Tim was on Skins. I was the triangle player in Dewey Cox's band, and I ended up on the cutting room floor.
Oh,
I didn't even get my SAG dental picked up again.
Oh,
so this is brutal for me. That being said, Dewey Cox, I haven't seen this film. I can see now the problem is going first all the time. I'm sort of like the pilot fish for all this. Not that you're not locked in.
We're
is everybody locked in?
We're all locked in.
Written in ink.
All right. I'm going to go 90.
Ooh,
holy moly.
Very ambitious.
I played it safe just because I don't know. I said 70.
Interesting. I said 72.
I said It's as well. I said 67.
Walk
I'm
hard.
To catch up, so I had to throw
big.
A Hail Mary.
I like that. Smart.
Has an audience score of 57%.
What I say about critics in this comedy, that the critics are almost 20 points higher. Here's the thing about critics. They shouldn't be this predictable. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't know that they're going to like this comedy and hate that comedy mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. the people this and that. I shouldn't know in advance based on the moving pieces what you're going to respond yeah. to of not seeing the film. I knew,
formula.
Yeah, well, you never... In comedies, the critics are always 30% lower unless, as I stated at the beginning, it's the right kind of yeah, comedy, right. and then they get a higher score,
right.
and the people don't speak. Oh, this is a close game.
I think so.
Here
you know
we
what,
go.
Ace, it's so apt what you said, that they fancy themselves intellectual outliers, but in a way, if you trace, you could build an algorithm, I swear, and tell what the critics are going to say about a certain type of yeah. film. That's an astute observation, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Dennis. Yeah, it is weird that you fancy yourself this sort of free, you know, you're this free-thinking, free bird that is coming at everything from all different mm-hmm. angles, yet I'm an imbecile from North Hollywood, and I built an algorithm as to what works and what doesn't work, and then I let Brian win the game.
So
here we go.
Say, very benevolent of you.
Yes.
All right, our final movie.
I could be ahead here.
I got to throw a long one here.
A cast member who did only one season on SNL in 1985, but now he's one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood.
Robert Downey Jr.
He starred in a quirky comedy about a low-budget film with the biggest star in the world, unbeknownst to him, alongside Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy, and Heather Graham in 1999's Bowfinger.
Great scene that he's in.
Bowfinger.
Did you see Bowfinger?
Bowfinger is right there with Bullworth. Bowfinger and Bullworth to me.
No.
I had someone
Warren
say
Beatty.
To me the other day, you need to see Bullworth.
I
it's like Bullworth. And I was like, I do. And they're like, I get the Bowfinger and the Bullworth about the same time. I'm not interested in either one of the Bs, even Samantha's B. And everyone tells me I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a movie where I figured great performances turned in, but maybe not a great movie, but people like it.
Yeah, they liked it.
Oh, this is tough.
I love this movie.
This is tough because I've seen bits and pieces of it. I think people responded well to it.
Eddie Murphy plays two roles, and they're both great.
I may be a couple of points in the lead, but this could be a 75 or a 95, and that's a big chasm.
Yeah.
I'm going to ignore my own advice. Because I feel like I got screwed last time in the play it safe department.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this one's a little easier because I've narrowed it down for the people. I got it between like 75 mm-hmm. and 90 with the people. So if I played it safe and went with 82, I think I'd be right there. All right. I'm not going to say that I'm writing down 82. Go ahead.
I don't know. Where do I? 82.
Good. Shrewd.
There you go. Make up ground. This is going to be one where the critic score is much, much higher than the audience score. There's a lot of inside jokes with Hollywood. And I don't think the majority of the country cares. So I said 60.
Oh,
and
I knew you were going to do that.
I love this movie.
Wow. I haven't seen it, but it's Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy. How bad can it be? I said 77.
Brian's reasoning and score were right up the alley. Bowfinger has an audience score of 61%.
Yeah!
Mm!
Here's the
while
problem.
The critics have it certified fresh at 81.
Here's the problem. Gina, you, like everyone else who heard about this movie, mm-hmm. like, Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy,
yeah,
what can go
right.
wrong?
Yeah.
It's not that kind of movie. It's it's heady. It's very inside Hollywood. Lots of, you know, filmmaking jokes that
I wanna see
are
it.
Funny to people who like filmmaking,
yeah.
but people who don't give a shit. They don't, you know.
All right.
Oh, man. Did I lose it on the last one again?
Woo! Hey, did I win again?
First, I want to say, Dennis, not only did you win, but you have bested all of your scores so far. This is no longer fourth place. This is a brand new podium, and you got the first position on it.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What about the cookie sheet we had next to the bronze for Dennis to stand on last week? Is that we getting rid of that?
What about the silk pad?
We're going to use
a
sheet of plywood now.
Further on the Everest of ignorance.
I like how Dennis angled to do the people score, and he somehow did worse.
Well, essentially, he's stuck by his friend Dana Carvey.
Hold on.
That's
hold
why.
On.
That's true.
Man. Let's
that's
just true. Get some clarity here. Now, I've seen the infomercial where they have that grilling sheet,
yeah,
that material you put on top of the grill.
It's
so
awesome.
It's not
like
jarred.
Like a silpat.
Yep.
That we had that for Dennis to stand on in fourth place next to us on the podium. Are we saying we get rid of that? We get it.
We're just putting it in the other room.
Should we get the shovel out, or can he just be on terra firma?
What about tracing paper?
Yeah.
It's all deserved.
Essentially, Dennis, you can use this as evidence in your Me Too legislation against your 13-year-old self, because you beat yourself by guessing 100 on Master of Disguise. Your final score, 148.
Whoa!
Yes.
That takes effort.
Thank you very much. I'm moving up in weight class.
Oh, I'm sick. I'm absolutely sick. And a pox on all you people told me how good Bowfinger was for so long. Yeah, it is good, but Eddie and Steve Martin and the people, everyone, the people were telling me how good it was. Yeah. All right.
If you were betting on Bald Brian, you would lose.
Ooh.
Brian in third place at 76.
I don't need the rest of the score.
Interesting.
I'm leaving.
Wait. Go to the judges. Go to the judges.
Okay. We're gonna rewrite
we're
the
back.
Score here. Stand by.
I'm like, how is that possible?
Chrissy just burst into the engineering room.
I was about to go through that window of negligence.
Sorry. Damn it.
Right. New paper.
Damn it.
Gina Grad. That 76 that I spoke of belongs to you. Congratulations on your third place.
Honored
finish.
To stand next to Dennis Miller.
And I got it. That leaves Adam and Brian. I got to say, Adam Carolla, congratulations. You hired the guy who won.
Yeah.
Adam, you got 68. Nice Brian, 52 for the win.
Oh, I was that far off.
Man of the
I
people.
I feel better now.
Bald Brian.
I must have been going into the lead. I must have had a small
lead. You had a four-point lead.
4 point. Oh, that was it.
Mm.
That ain't
Wait,
much.
Let me ask you this. Did their three scores total my score?
Mm. 70 plus, plus 50 plus 4?
Oh, 70. Yeah, it did.
Dennis Miller, the Dennis Miller option can be found on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. Live shows coming up in Montclair, New Jersey, and Knoxville. I believe we're taping the special there. Tickets at Ticketmaster. Thanks, Dennis.
I always have fun. Thanks, guys.
I'll
I feel
tell you
like
what.
I'm part of the... the defective part of the game each week. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, hold on quick. Let me just talk to my producer. For next week, let's unveil a new game called What's on Dennis's Nightstand. And Dennis, I'm going to need you to be in your bedroom when we play this game, all right?
Lock your answer in.
Yeah.
I think you got a fighting chance at this one, all right? Thanks.
All right, Ace.
Thanks, Dennis.
You guys all have a good one.
And thanks.
I still think Gina won. Bye-bye.
Oh, man.
I know you have a negative association now in your mind, but you should see Bowfinger. It's a funny movie.
I shall.
And
I
it's
just,
a lot of inside Hollywood
I don't,
stuff.
I'm disappointed in the people with their 61%.
How close were L.A. Story and Bowfinger when they came out? Because that's the same vibe. Like,
oh, not at all.
No?
Talk
about inside.
L.A. Story, L.A. Confidential.
L.A. Story with Steve Martin.
L.A. Story is 91, Bowfinger's 99.
Oh, okay.
All right.
L.A. Story is more wistful.
Brian. Fine. I'm going to do one of these moves.
Let's hear it.
That thing where you you go last bucket wins the game,
okay,
even though the one guy's down by 14 points.
That's totally fair.
Higher score with the audience, Bullworth or Bowfinger?
Wow.
I get
61.
I get the same. I get a lot of you got to see this, and I feel like I don't. And I've also seen some of both and never really got sucked in.
Right.
I just thought, this is interesting.
A lot of times the audience score is how disappointed or not disappointed they were, not even so much how much they enjoyed it. So by Gina's logic, oh, it's Eddie Murphy, Steve Martin, they're disappointed. I'm going to I hated Bowfinger or Bulworth. I'm going to say Bulworth because it was a young, fresh hip hop version of Warren Beatty.
Say Bulworth is higher.
Bulworth higher.
All right, let's see if you win or Corolla wins.
It takes it all.
68.
68. Woo! Well, they were all. You know, it's funny, but if you take the critic score and the audience score, yeah, critic 76 and the audience, and you take the critics and the audience of. The of Bowfinger, you probably have about the same score. A little bit lower here, a little bit higher there.
81,
kind of the same vibe. All right. Gina's got a story, a dilemma, a situation. Brian Brian was outraged.
He almost flipped this entire console, and this is bolted to the ground.
I really was shocked.
All right. Here's the deal.
That somebody made this request.
Proclamation. Yeah.
Like, hey, Gina, could you do this for me or with me?
Yeah.
Or would you be into this?
Yeah, would you be into this?
Made by male or female?
By a male.
All right. Hold on a second. Right. Let me tell you about Simply Safe, and then we shall hear. They obsess over details like no other company. They came up with a privacy shutter for their security camera to protect your privacy when you're at home or away. Control it from your phone. Metal shutters can break, and Simply Safe needed something that was going to work more than 10,000 times the life of the camera. So they tested different metals, hinges, designs. They did it all for a month. The result, a thin, lightweight aluminum privacy shutter. Simply Safe. They're a different kind of company. They do home security. They do it right, and they never stop improving. They never stop evolving. You learn more at Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. Great company. We all use it. Let's get some Simply Safe. All right, Gina Grad, I'm intrigued.
Okay. So I want to have a summer of leisure. Brian's having one. I'd like to get in on that.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, it seems great. So, you know, I go Airbnb, you know, Joshua Tree, or go, you know, to Santa Barbara or whatever. But I haven't been to Vegas in a long time. So a friend of mine, one of my guy friends actually was talking about, well, you know, I'm going to Vegas next month. Do you want to go? And I was like, that actually sounds pretty good. Yeah, let's talk about it, blah, blah, blah. So we're talking. He goes, oh, I mean, it's a bachelor weekend. It's a bachelor party weekend for one of my friends, but you could totally come. And I was like, wait a second. Are girls allowed at bachelor parties? He's like, yeah, what's the big deal? Nobody cares. I was like, what are you guys going to be doing? They don't know me. I don't think you're supposed to have girls there. No, it'll be great.
Suggestion.
It'll be fine. Nobody cares. I would never want to be the girl that shows up at somebody's bachelor party. Brian thinks this is insane.
The man we're talking about,
yeah,
right?
A man that I would even be invited. And my friend is like, no, you must come.
No.
Well, let's explore your relationship with this fella. Does he have an interest in you? I'm going to say yes. Okay, so he's interested in you as a girlfriend.
I mean, you don't just invite anyone to Vegas.
Well,
do you? Then maybe he doesn't.
Look, it kind of depends with Vegas. I've been to Vegas with girlfriends, and I've been to Vegas with abductees.
Okay.
So...
The man act.
I've been with friends from like the theater group, female friends.
One on one?
No.
Okay.
This was a couple of guys. This was the worst plan ever, which is, oh, we're going to finish a show at the Acme Theater in the NoHo District on a Friday night. We're going to finish at, six. I guess we'd finish about 11 at night or something like that, 10:30, 11 at night. And we're driving to Vegas. Like,
that's one of the things that the movie Swingers got right. They nailed that late night drive to Vegas where you start it with piss and vinegar. And
yep.
2.5 hours in, you're like, what are we doing? What have we done?
What happened to us and what happens, we didn't have any credit cards or money or like anything. We're just like, we're going to Vegas. You know, back when you could just drive to Vegas, you'd find a hotel room, right. You know, like pull into the whatever, like Swingers. Yeah, we left at, 11. We rolled in there at, 3 in the morning. Oh, we played some 21. And then at, 4:30 or 5 o'clock, we just went up to the desk. And we're like, we're going to check in. And like, good, check-in's at 3. And we're like, well, what time is it? It's 5:18 a.m. And we're like, we want to check in now. And
wait,
they're like,
lobby for 10 hours?
No, you check in at 3. It's check You can check. You can get in the room at 3. Maybe we'll have it made up early. Get in like 2:15, 2:45, something like that. We're like, it's 5 in the morning and we're completely gassed and we're just standing there. And they're like, you can check in at 3. And we're like out of our minds. And we just went and sat in a coffee shop for like 11 hours
That's
or something.
That's very swingers.
It's very swingers.
Yes, there was nothing to do. You got to get the check in, check out rhythm right. I talk to people all the time where they go like, I got a 9 o'clock flight out of whatever. And I go, yeah, well, you're going to have you checked out at noon. And they go, oh, we're at the Marriott airport, you know, Marriott. I'm like, well, what are you going to do for the 7.5 hours before you go? And they're like, oh, like I was, you got to do the math.
And you didn't have any money to grease anyone's palm either.
Oh my God, we couldn't grease our own palms.
But that's about it.
Yes. So you were invited by this guy.
Yeah.
This guy has some interest in you.
Maybe.
Can you imagine going on Kimmel's bachelor party and being like, hey, I'm bringing this girl I'm seeing.
Yeah, who's the broad?
Is that cool?
No.
Then nobody knows.
Are
you kidding me?
Are you seeing him?
No, I mean.
Uh-oh.
What if he hears this?
He doesn't have ears. No, you know, just
don't do that.
Fairly friendly.
But there's some like he's not a fool.
No,
to think he's not a Doobie Brothers song. To think that he should believe that there may be some potential here with you.
He wants to spend time with her. He's inviting her out to accompany him on his bachelor party.
That's very possible. Which I think makes it worse, because if it's just like a friend, that's easy. That's easier to explain to your other friends.
Do you think that he has something where it's like, oh, stay in my room kind of thing? Is that?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't stay in my own room.
Stay in his room. But all the dudes are going to have their own rooms. Or are they going to stay in one big suite?
I don't know. Would I have to stay with all these dudes I've never met?
Typically, it's going to be a bunch of rooms.
Okay.
Maybe once a week for a couple of
months. Maxipata says he's experienced girls at a bachelor party.
Yeah. That were dancing
multiple
naked?
Times.
Wait. Look. Invited girls?
Yeah, here's the thing.
Because if there's a girl that's like part of the group, it's one of the guys.
Yeah, that's fine. Two of the bachelor parties I've been to in Vegas, the groom and the bride both had them at the same time, so both parties were in Vegas. And if you do that, eventually they're going to meet up.
I've heard about this.
Yeah, I have that story for today's news.
That's terrible. But the only time I've ever heard this working, Gina, and it's not going to work for you, is if you don't know anybody there or if you barely know somebody. Because one time when we all did our Vegas shows at the Hard Rock, I brought my girlfriend, and I got a text from a buddy saying, hey, I'm in Vegas too. Do you want tickets to the Michael Jackson show that they do out there? And I couldn't go because I was working the show. So I said, oh, I can't go, but Jen could go. Can she go? And he goes, yeah. And then Jen texts me a couple hours later, this is a bachelor party. What are you doing?
Oh, you
messed
up.
She didn't know, but turns out she was the life of the party, took him to the strip club.
She's amazing. And I think that would be my vibe. I mean, I'm not as fun as Jen. Jen's amazing. But I'm not pearl clutching. You know, I'd have a good time.
You need to politely decline.
Okay.
And reevaluate this.
Well, it's also because all the other guys are going to look at guys at the party are going to look at you as a damper, no matter what. Like, I mean, as sweet as you are, it's just.
I totally agree. That was my thought.
And they're going to think less of him.
That's the same thing.
Can you find your pearls? Do you have to pull them out like Excalibur sword?
Hold on.
Whoever can remove the pearls from Gina's cleavage, she'll rule the land.
By the power of Grayskull.
You hold them above your head.
I have the pearls.
All right. So weird. Yeah. Yes. Brian is right. An attack to all the other guys who are going to this bachelor party. Way out of line and no place.
What if? Sorry, were you done with that? What if we ended up doing a bunch of like our own thing, and he would go do stuff with them without me?
No,
it completely and utterly defeats the purpose
of having him on
the bachelor party. Yeah. And let me tell you something: a bachelor party can affect things in ways that people can't see immediately. Yes. There was a young chap many years ago that we threw a bachelor party for down in the city of industry at the Spearmint Rhino. And the guy like refused to get a lap dance and at some point sort of cut out early and blah, blah, blah. And let me tell you something. A young and influential Jimmy Kimmel was not impressed.
No.
And that young fella's never really made it back never into the quite, inner, yeah, never inner really circle. Made it back into the circle.
You know what's also weird is when I think guys who've been to college experience this, where their college buddies and their old buddies. Well, you probably experienced it with, you know, with your showbiz buddies versus your high school buddies. The oil and the water doesn't always mix like you want it to. Sometimes right. there's a culture the clash. Mm-hmm. I went to a bachelor party in Vegas with a buddy of mine who had a very strong little network of high school buddies he was still close with. And they were a bunch of weirdos. And they came out and they're like, guys, and there's like maybe, I don't know, it's a big bachelor party, 15 guys. And they're like, guys, we're in the room. We're gonna tell the bachelor we're getting stripper. But no. We're getting a clown. How funny would that be? And we're like, not funny at all. Like, no, it's going to be hilarious.
The idea is funny, not the execution.
Yes, yes, exactly. I'm like, that sounds hilarious on a script.
But do we have to go through it?
Yeah. And wouldn't you know, an old, disheveled, disgusting clown showed up, and it was funny and weird for about 8 seconds, yeah. And he wouldn't leave. He drank our beer and hung out. Like, the bachelor was blindfolded, took off the blindfold. Oh, it's a clown. Joke's yeah. over. He's yeah. still here.
And for the bachelorette weekend I had with a friend last month, if one of their friends brought a dude on our like spa vacay with a stripper and everything, that would have been annoying.
Oh,
You tell me. You guys vote online. Worst idea for a bachelor party sort of novelty theme.
Bring Gina.
Or a clown.
One option.
No. Bring clown at the bachelor party, or what Philip the Juggler's guy did in the novelty department. We all ended up at the Queen Mary drag show.
Ooh.
Where we were paying for cover, you know, two drink minimums, and all sitting in the front row with the guy with his nutsack tucked between his legs.
Again,
and
hilarious in a script.
Divine sitting on your lap.
But you have to be there.
Yeah, you have to, and it's expensive.
And it wasn't cheap. And like at a certain point, I stood up and I said, we talked about it a few days ago. I said, there's a place called Star Garden. Yeah. I know the bouncer. It's like 6 miles from here.
I'll be at the Yard House.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And I just like collected everybody and we all went to a real titty bar. So, I'm trying to think of,
No, don't be clever. Don't play jokes.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot of effort for a quick laugh.
Right.
And questionable laugh.
Right.
And it's interesting because I was going to say Adam's definitely got it worse because you had to go somewhere and sit there.
That's true.
But Brian, you had basically at this point an invited guest
an
that you couldn't get to leave.
And we paid him. They wanted to collect. And you were collecting with the clown. Are you kidding
all right.
me?
Well, I won't go. Is everybody happy now?
Yes. I mean, no, but.
I know. It felt uncomfortable.
I feel like we can move forward with our life. I remember I had all these thoughts about sort of being poor mm-hmm. and paying for stuff. I remember for like my 18th birthday or 19th birthday, somebody got me, you know, it was like a box. It was back where in terms of like possessions, you know, I had the decorative popcorn tin that Vince and Pat Bruno got me. That was like a big ticket item. Like it's a tin. I can defecate in it later, but it's got popcorn in it sure. now. That's a big ticket yeah, item for me. Just my parents never bought anything. We didn't have anything. Somebody bought me, like it was my 19th birthday or whatever. They got me a box and it was like tied up. And I remember thinking like, I hope there's a tool in here or something, like something I can use. I don't have vice grips, you know, like everything was a big ticket. Maybe handlebar grip for my bicycle or something.
Something that plugs in.
Yeah.
Inside it was a black jock strap with a zipper in the front of it and peanuts stuffed into the jock strap. And it was called Jock Full of Nuts. And I remember just staring at it going, that must have cost $23.
Yeah. I would take the $23.
Like, I could have got a metric socket set from Sears for that. And I got the Jock Full of Nuts. Like I got 8 seconds of me going, and then a slight moment of like, oh, there's 9 peanuts in there. Yeah. I guess I can consume those. But I remember just going, I'm fucking broke and I'm living in a garage. I have nothing. And I know you just spent money and this is great, but just give me a bottle of booze, like anything. Yeah.
Not having money makes it all worse. Like I think what the clown was 2004, 2005. I wasn't making any money, and paying $10 for the privilege of having the clown was like,
right.
What? Whereas now it's like, give the clown $50 and get him out of here.
Right, right.
Oh,
jock full of nuts. That's funny.
The clown.
Shock full of nuts.
Good coffee.
All right. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Yeah. Don't go. And don't date that guy. He has horrible instincts.
That's a bad decision.
Castrol Edge tech advances have made engines smaller and more powerful and more efficient. But the pressure's on, man. They're getting more. They're wringing more out of these little engines. And that's why you need Castrol Edge. They got liquid titanium technology. They've collaborated with Electronic Arts to present the adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer. So let's check that out. And it's a really cool video. I demand that you check it out. Go to Castrol USA YouTube page and check that out. Portland Aladdin Theater this Saturday, filming my first stand-up special. Second show is not sold out, so you can get some tickets to that. Live shows coming up everywhere. Thousand Oaks, Borderline Bar and Grill. That's July 27th. That's a live podcast. Pasadena Ice House, August 29th. We'll be doing a live pod there. So always fun. Seattle, live pod. The Moore Theater. Love that place. September 13th. Then we set sail. Go to amcoral.com for all that stuff. And get yourself pre-order Uppity. It just helps. It's coming out in July. You can pre-order it at Chassis, chassy.com. It's a really good film, and I really appreciate you pre-ordering that so we can go ahead and fund the next film. It's a vicious cycle. All right. We got Solo, right? Another Star Wars spinoff.
Han Solo origin story, sort of.
We'll do that right after the break in Good Sports.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Dave.
Whoa, Gary, what are you doing? It's not time for that. Not yet. But Dave's of Thunder is coming back. Rejoice, BTLs and monkeys. David Feeney and Dave Damashek are back. Subscribe ASAP, the brand new feed, Dave's of Thunder, on Podcast One. Subscribe or be a square. Up to you. Now. Let's get to Good Sports. Hi and hello, sports fans, and welcome to the newest episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. What's the poop, Ace Man?
I got a win play show for you.
Ooh, all right.
I'd also like to know philosophically on where you stand. We spoke a little off the air, but I come to you for all things food because you establish the power rankings every year.
Mm-hmm.
So win play show. First, in the Mexican fair. By the way, that sounds like the worst fair ever. What happened? I went to the Mexican fair. I got tetanus. Now I have lockjaw. I have to drink.
Unfair.
I have to drink steak smoothies through a straw.
Quesadilla.
Quesadilla.
Uh-huh.
Cheese, steak, chicken. I'm not going to enter shrimp and other things.
Nah, that's...
Power
that's...
rankings. Your win, place, and show.
I feel like this is a trap. This feels too easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to choose the best ingredients, and somehow I feel like by doing so, I will run afoul of what you want to hear. But I'm going to give you what's in my gut. Not literally. I wish there was literally a steak quesadilla in my belly right now. That's my win.
All right, place.
I'm going to go with cheese. I'm going to throw you a curveball and go cheese in the middle there. I don't know, like how – I don't think you get consistent – quality in your poultry when it's injected into a mix.
You're right.
You know what I mean? It gets dry or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't right.
Mm-hmm. and chicken third.
Yes.
You're definitely right in that department. Now,
oh, good.
My thing, and you tell me where you're at with this. I see people started adding chicken to everything at a certain point. Like you just order a,
it's true.
You order a salad. And they go like, oh, we add
with
some.
Why?
We can add chicken to that. It's like, well, it's a Waldorf or it's a Caesar. You want Caesar chicken? We'll add chicken to that. You're like, I'll have an old fashioned cocktail. We want to put some chicken in with it. We'll put a drumstick in with that. Like somebody started.
Butterscotch shake.
You know what? What happened with chicken is like what happened with ranch. Everyone just started saying, want some chicken with that? I'll give you a side of ranch. I'll chicken and ranch. And it's, the restaurants kind of figured out that there's nothing they couldn't really add chicken to.
Mm-hmm.
So formerly, you just get quesadillas or you just get nachos. Nachos were just cheese on chips with salsa, whatever. They go, I'm going to put some beef in there, some chicken in there. So I'm with you that I love steak and I love beef.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also traditional in that a quesadilla is a quesadilla. I don't want to add things all the time
I
to
got
everything.
You. Yes.
And so where are you?
You know what? I retract it based on what you philosophically just mentioned there, because I have spoken out on a number of occasions, as you're aware, against the Samoa in the Girl Scout cookie rankings, because the Thin Mint is simple elegance. You know, it's like, hey, chocolate and peppermint, dig it or beat it.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a Samoa, oh, I like the Samoa. Yeah, I guess you would like a Samoa. Why? Because it's got everything on it. Why wouldn't you like it? It's a cheat.
So now we then get into the enchilada department, and I'm not a curator at the Mexican Food Museum, but when I order an enchilada, I like a cheese enchilada. I feel the same way. Also, there's a texture thing that nobody really does the math on. When they're putting mm-hmm. the beef in the quesadilla, this is not the best of the best from our friend Adam Perry Lang. This is the stuff that didn't make the taco cut. You know what I'm saying?
You're absolutely.
And when you're biting on it, now you're having to wrestle with it a little because the cheese and the tortilla offers no resistance. But now you're kind of having to go at it.
It's a foul surprise. Ooh, right. If it's chicken, it's a different kind of foul surprise.
Do the quesadilla with the quesadilla. I like the enchilada with the enchilada. A lot of heat here around the a lot of hot talk on ACS about the nachos. My feeling is I like the old school. I don't like to just keep piling on the sour cream and the beans and the guac. It becomes too laden, by the way. And then also,
if you just can empty your fridge and throw it all onto one platter and shake it up and then say, hey, it's a cheat. It's
right.
Cloying.
So, by the way, who's never really been, who's never really taken the bait on the, let's just add some junk to what you were, let's mm-hmm. make you into something you formerly weren't. The shrimp cocktail. The shrimp
Ooh,
cocktail
yeah.
stands proud. It's like, no, here's how we do it. Shrimp, cocktail sauce. That's it. You
want to
squeeze some lemon? Have at it. You're not going to add chicken. You're not going to add blue cheese. You're not going to kick in a bunch of capers or croutons
or anything.
Oh, wait a second.
I can't think of where this was, but now that you mention it, I can't think of which joint, but I've been somewhere and had blackened shrimp cocktail.
No, unnecessary.
I have had that. I knew this was a hot issue at Corolla Manor because Gary met me at the door to discuss it. Hey, I just got to get your... No, I'm not telling you anything. Just what do you get when you order nachos at a restaurant? What do you want?
Give us your nacho and then give us your win place show in the enchilada department.
I mean, I'm old school. I was going to the Igloo in Pittsburgh, PA to watch the Penguins lose back in the late 80s. And I loved, the only thing that made it okay was I'd get the bowl. I'd say, give me a nachos. And in return, they would hand me a bowl with the chips and that gooey cheese, not melted cheese per se, you know,
fake
cheese with some jalapenos surrounding, a double dose of those, if you please. And that was great. Now, I also think in the 21st century, if you walk into a restaurant and say, give me a thing of nachos, you're going to get chicken and olives and cream cheese and diced
sour
tomatoes
cream,
and
mean,
all that
yes.
sour
and,
cream.
And yes, and now probably bacon bits or something like that. And my thing is, here's the deal.
This bacon bitch used to be on potato. That was a thing. Those have gotten in the way of the dodo bird. Nobody gets the potato skins anymore at restaurants.
There is, I would like us to all. My car references early 70s Porsche 911. It's simple. But that's part of its elegance. We don't have to keep adding flames and headers and everything else. There's something simple. The thing about the quesadilla...
Football uniforms are also that.
Yes. The quesadilla is simple and elegant. Let's not pile a bunch of crap on top of it. And by the way, it's no wonder we're getting fat. We just keep dumping more guac and sour cream and bacon onto everything. That formerly was simple.
Yeah, you
and
know
elegant.
What? You're exactly right, and that analogy works. And it does legitimately extend. The Raiders have never changed their uniforms, and they're glorious. The Atlanta Falcons used to have good uniforms, and they started putting weird lines in weird places all over. And now we have this unsatisfying mess.
Agreed.
I like that. Very good. I'm not even going to do the enchiladas here because we covered too much good ground here already. Oh, go ahead.
As long as we're on food, let's get back to the simple elegance of pizza over here. Little Caesars. Have you heard Little Caesars? Hot and ready, extra most bestest pizza. The most cheese, pepperoni, nation's best price. Just go to, it got a little cheesier. And if you're thinking we stuffed the crust, oh yeah, we stuffed the crust. There's 3 feet. 3 feet of cheese in the crust for only $9. The extra most bestest stuffed crust pizza. Come in and enjoy all the cheesiest pizza today. Only $9. Only at Little Caesars for a limited time. Find the location near you. Visit littlecaesars.com. Right, Gary?
That's right. Claim of the most cheese and most pepperoni at the nation's best price is based on comparison of the following pizzas for the top four national pizza chains. Little Caesars Extra Most Bestest Pizza and the other three pizza chains, large, round, standard, one menu. A menu one-topping pepperoni pizza sold at everyday menu prices. Available at participating locations, plus tax where applicable. Length of cheese measured before cooking.
Very nice. I have a taste for a pizza. I want to get pizza, I want to get nachos, and I want to listen to Dave's of Thunder. Do them in not necessarily that order. All right, back with more good sports for you tomorrow. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports out. Good sports.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.